I'll be reading two scriptures today, and I invite you to stand, and Randy, I invite you to come on up a while also. First, Psalms 93. The Lord is King. He is robed in majesty. The Lord is robed. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It shall never be moved. Your throne is established from of old. You are everlasting. The floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lifted up their roaring. More majestic than the thunders of mighty waters, more majestic than the waves of the sea, majestic on high is the Lord. Your decrees are very sure. Holiness befits your house, O Lord, forevermore. John 18:33-37. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Remain standing as we pray. Thank you for this scripture that is chosen as text for today. May you fill us with your spirit as we listen, and for Randy, as we trust that he's been filled with the spirit as he's prepared for this, and also as in the delivery, that if there's something that comes along the way that your spirit is prompting, that he feels the freedom for that. Thank you for his willingness to be our pastor and to share in this important work of the church. In Jesus' name, amen.
This morning is Christ the King Sunday. If you follow the church calendar, as I took a preaching course that followed the church calendar, and it really is a way to orient ourselves in life. And really, every Sunday has its own thing in the church calendar. And in the church calendar, we're in this time. It's called Ordinary Time. It's this time between Easter and Advent. And this is the last Sunday in Ordinary Time in the church calendar in the liturgical year. And Christ the King Sunday celebrates the all-embracing authority of Jesus Christ as King and Lord of the world. And Christ the King Sunday is celebrated on the final Sunday of Ordinary Time, the Sunday before Advent. Can you believe that Advent starts next week? Time is certainly moving. And so on this last Sunday in Ordinary Time, Christ the King Sunday, we remember together that Christ's kingdom, where he is king, has no end. As I was preparing this week and thinking about what it means for Christ to be king in my own life, I was reminded of my own journey about 5 years ago as I was transitioning from Eastern Mennonite Seminary in Lancaster to Eastern Mennonite Seminary, Harrisonburg, Virginia. I had taken, at that point, about 12 credits at the Lancaster campus, I was feeling like God definitely had the call to continue in this. I was definitely feeling, but I was still in this time of really still some unknowns as to what exactly this would look like. And to be honest, the idea of going down to Harrisonburg and starting in the Master of Divinity track kind of scared me. And that was part of the reason why I decided to take 5 months in between and hike the Appalachian Trail with my good friend Ugo. And it was on the Appalachian Trail that God really worked in my life in some amazing ways as I was continuing to discern my call in church ministry and seminary. And one of the most significant things that happened for me while on the trail was just the amazing people that I met out there. Just good people. And if nothing else, it's just a reminder that in all of the fear and places in the world where you just kind of get depressed, it was just good to be around good people who really cared about you and each other. And I'm thinking about different hikers that I met along the way. The hiking culture is really very unique in that it's a lot of folks who are kind of just needing to get away from the busyness of the world, who are trying to just get away from the incredible consumerism that we live in and all of the media that consumes our lives, and just needing to kind of get away from that for a time in their life. It's folks that care deeply about community and about one another. It's folks that care deeply about hospitality, and folks that care a lot about the earth and the thinking about how they are working to be at peace with the creation. And there's a, I can think of so many different examples of places where I just saw good people. And I'm reminded of a time when Ugo and I were in New York. We were really tired and just beat down, kind of, you know, or one of those days where you just would do anything for a hot shower and a hot meal. And we come across at a road crossing, and there's a cooler of cold water, which wasn't very unnormal. That was really quite normal to see a cooler. And it was given by what they would call a trail angel. And the trail angel gave trail magic, because it's just unexpected goodness that you come across. And so that was no surprise, really, though, because we had come across that many times. But what was a surprise then was these little cards on top of the cooler that said, if you want a place to stay tonight and a hot meal, just call this number and we'll come pick you up. It basically said that in so many words. And we kind of looked at each other and said, yeah, let's do that. And we called this, it was an older couple, and within 10 minutes, they were there picking us up. They lived very close to the trail. And they don't have these cards out all the time, but every now and then they said, we just put these cards out because we're just feeling like we want to show some hospitality. And they took us into their house. I mean, trust me, we were smelly hikers at this point. Even though we're not able to smell ourselves, we know we don't smell good. But no judgment at all. Put your backpacks down here in the garage, take your shoes off, go get a hot shower right away, and we're going to start cooking dinner. And we're like, is this happening? We're just in their house like this? Oh my word. And they just treated us so kindly and showed us such amazing hospitality. And then we had a wonderful meal. It was food straight from their garden. And then the next morning they gave us a wonderful breakfast and drove us right back out to the trail and said, you know, all the best to you and keep going. The thing about it is these people in our conversations did not, we always would end up telling our story somehow, and oftentimes it would come up that I'm Mennonite because my trail name was Menno. So you can't really hide that one very well. And so I would I would talk about being Mennonite, and it just talked about how they don't have any faith affiliation. They don't go to church. But they kind of practice a sort of just, well, we just want to do what we would want done to us. Who wouldn't want to just show hospitality? It's just part of being human. And that was really something that I heard many times on the trail. It really kind of is much of what the trail culture is about, is that it's a kind of humanism that they just want to be good people. And so I wrestled with this, though, as I was on the trail and just experiencing such incredible hospitality in a very post-Christian world where it actually wasn't very popular to claim a particular religious affiliation. And as I was going back then into seminary in Harrisonburg and wrestling with my own call, I found myself in that first semester to be actually really struggling in some ways. Because I was leaving a culture where there was just so much hospitality and love and good people who didn't identify as Christian or actually pretty frustrated with the church. And now here I was in a church institution where I didn't always see the same kind of hospitality and love that I experienced there. And yet here was the Christian church. And I wrestled with that. Where is God at, and where is God's kingdom working in these amazing people on the trail who did not identify as God working in their life or did not claim Christ the King in their own life? Now, I'm going to come back to that story in a little bit, but I would invite us now to transition into the text this morning. This is Christ the King Sunday. This text in John that we read about shows us a picture of the King that we worship. It is a kingdom where Jesus says it is not from this world. If it was, my disciples would fight for me. And really, what I see here is this contrast understanding of what kingdom looks like, of what king looks like, and of what power looks like. As we see the contrast between Pontius Pilate as power and kingdom, and then Jesus' understanding of power and kingdom. And John really sets this up as a contrast of how we see the particularity of Jesus' understanding of kingdom. Kingdom in this case really for Jesus has nothing to do with location. But rather at the heart of this is acknowledging who has the power in this kingdom, and where does it come from? I believe in Jesus' kingdom, the kingdom of God is to be in the presence of God, and it's to recognize God's power in our lives. As I read this Psalm 93 text, we see this beautiful big picture of God as King, robed in majesty. He is girded with strength. He has established the world. It's this majestic language. And one of the things that we talked about in Sunday school was the difference between like a high church liturgy and low church. And when I read this text in Psalm 93, I see some of this more high church language that recognizes just the great majesty of God as King. More majestic, it says in verse 4, than the thunders of mighty waters. More majestic than the waves of the sea. Majestic on high is the Lord. Your decrees are very sure. It's really when I think about power and kingdom, when I read these words, I think big, big kingdom, powerful kingdom, powerful king. And yet, the contrast then, as we understand this kingdom of Jesus as king, which is part of the challenge of holding all of this kingdom together, this majestic language in Psalm 93, and then this picture of Jesus in John, who shows he is a king by dying on a cross of self-giving up power, of vulnerability, of suffering. How do we hold all this together when we see this understanding of king? Jesus tells us he is king not by putting up defense. And I love it when, as we read right before this, Peter tries to defend Jesus and he actually takes out his sword and he cuts the ear off of one of the persons trying to take Jesus. And Jesus tells him, put your sword away, Peter. And then here we read, if my kingdom was from this world, they would be fighting for me. Clearly, this is a particular kind of king and a particular kind of kingdom. And it's this beautiful picture of kingdom and power where it's not running the other way. It's not as if Jesus does not confront or isn't afraid of conflict. Jesus has no problem confronting or leaning in, as Jason says. And I think that's really important as we think about the particularity of this king. It's not that this king runs away from conflict or runs away from the issues. He talks in such a, Jesus talks to Pilate in such a creative way where he kind of just reframes everything. And I love that because as we think about being a particular people serving this particular kind of king, and as we're faced with conflict, as Jesus was here, it's not that we run the other way. I think sometimes we call it fight, flight, or freeze. And maybe each of us has some of those different personalities when we think about conflict. And I see Jesus here, he doesn't flee. He doesn't really freeze either, and he doesn't really fight either. He kind of has this creative fourth way that shows us how particular his kingdom is. He does engage the conflict, but he does it nonviolently. He does it by loving them, by loving the whole world, and by showing that true power, true kingdom, is most embodied in self-giving up love and forgiveness towards the other. That is what makes this kingdom so particular and so very different than the kingdoms of this world, where it's all about power and might. My kingdom is not from this world. We are a particular people, and we do have a particular king. And so as I was on the Appalachian Trail meeting so many good people, I wrestled with how I was particular. Because I realized that as I was talking with these wonderful people, it was so easy just to keep the conversation at all the places that we agreed on. Oh, you care about community? I care about community too. Oh, you care about, it was amazing. Like a lot of the hikers actually consider themselves pacifist and nonviolent. And so that was such a great place to talk. But the temptation was always just to talk about how we agreed on issues, but not about what undergirded our beliefs. Because as soon as I would talk about the particularities of why I believed what I believed, then you're vulnerable. Because now it's bringing up baggage that people have with the church. And so my journey of coming off the trail and into seminary was regaining again how I served a particular king and how I was a particular person. And I found one theologian, Miroslav Volf, to be helpful in my own journey. When I didn't want to be particular and I just wanted us all to just agree, I realized that the more that we do engage and talk about what makes us particular, the healthier it is. We live in a pluralist society where being particular is not always popular, where it's good just to think about what we all agree on. But to talk about a particular king in Jesus Christ, now that isn't always popular. And Miroslav Volf here has so much experience in cross-cultural language with other religions, and he's very much for religious leaders and religions talking together and working together. But he doesn't shy on this point, that in our conversations we have to remain particular. He says to treat all religions, and really this humanism that I talked about on the trail really is a sort of religion. It has core values, it has beliefs. So in my example here, and I'm thinking about is this trail community that upheld this kind of humanism. And then for me, my particularity as an Anabaptist Christian, it says to treat all religions as at the bottom the same is to insert them into a frame of meaning without sufficiently appreciating the incredible mystery of otherness of religions. It is because all major religions are not in essence the same that engaging in dialogue is worthwhile. Such dialogues are exercises in mutual learning about ourselves and others. And I really had to hear those words because I was coming off that experience and just wanting us all to just focus on what we agreed on and build bridges. And my journey was to realize that I had to remain particular, even to the particularity of the king that I served as Jesus Christ. Because if I didn't do that, we would just remain at this place of conversation where we would all lose what made us distinct. And it was by holding our distinctiveness that allowed us to really engage in quality dialogue. And as I think about the particular story that I come from, as someone born into the Mennonite family, the Anabaptist family of 500 years old, which is part of a larger story of God's church and the story of God's salvation in Jesus, I realized that if I didn't go into that particularity in my conversations, then I was discounting that very story of what God is doing in my life. We are a particular people, and we do have a particular king. And as you think about just good people in your life, good people. I was thinking about like the extraordinary give in Lancaster County here. We raised $6 million for nonprofits. It's just good people doing good things in our community. And a lot of them aren't doing it from a particular Christian perspective. But as we just think about these good people in our community, or maybe it's other relationships in your lives, the people doing good things, my invitation is for us to continue to ask the questions, where is God at work in their life? Even as they don't identify Jesus as King. There's mystery. We do see through a glass dimly, as to how God's kingdom is even showing up in them. And I can hold that in the one hand. But in the other hand, I also have to hold that I do have a particular king in Jesus that we read about here. That this particular king is described in the most majestic language of Psalms, and yet the most humble, vulnerable, suffering, nonviolent, forgiving king on the cross. That's a particular kind of king. And as we think about these really good people, for me, my friends on the trail, I think it's coming towards each other. It's not first judging them. Well, you're not Christian, so you can't be doing anything good. It's not that spirit of judgment, but it's rather a spirit of curiosity. I know I'm particular, and I know that you're particular too. So I am curious now. Tell me, you care about community and the environment and peace and social justice. Why? Stay curious. And as you stay curious to their own story, we might find that it is based in some kind of beliefs. And then, for myself, it's not to just stay on what we all agree on, but it's to go to that next level of sometimes vulnerability, to talk about what makes my story particular as well. It's coming towards each other. May that be our journey this week. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. And on this Sunday when we celebrate Christ the King, may we remember together, we are a particular people with a particular King. Let us pray. God, we thank you for these wonderful Bible verses. We thank you for the beautiful Psalms that we read about that show your majesty and your kingdom. And God, I thank you too for this story in John that shows just how different your kingdom is. God, as we see you as a king who showed power by dying on a cross and rising again, I pray that we might have that same posture for us, that we, as we think about conflict and as we think about being your people, the church, that we wouldn't flee the other way, we wouldn't fight, we wouldn't freeze, but God, we would simply learn the posture of cross-shaped love, of forgiveness, of listening to the other person, of being vulnerable. We thank you, God, that you are King and that your kingdom is among us. May we participate in that today by your Holy Spirit. Amen.